The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Every year, the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years, and in favor with God and human beings. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
As you know, Christmas is celebrated not in a single day, but over a period of 8 days. This is called an octave, just as we have an octave in music. And from the earliest Christian times, the chief holy days, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, have had this 8-day period of celebration. During each of the days, the church looks at a different aspect of the life and mystery of God's Son becoming man in the Christmastide, because this is so rich and so wonderful. So first we remember the history. We look at it and ponder it with love. That's meditation. Then we draw from the example of Jesus strength and guidance for our lives. We contemplate what God has done and wants to do with our cooperation. And then we ask the Lord for his grace and for his help. So today, on the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's Day, the octave day, we celebrate a feast of the Holy Family and reflect on what it means to say that Jesus wasn't simply born like us, as one of us, but that he lived in a home with parents who loved him. And he grew. And as he grew, they grew also. Because their life, like yours, was marked by love and generosity and self-sacrifice. And so by looking to Mary and Joseph, we can find examples for our own lives and strength for our own daily living. Now, throughout the Christmas season, of course, Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, takes first place because she is the one who's caught up in God's plan like no other human being. She says yes with all her heart to God's will, and receives in her own body, in her own womb, the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. She tabernacles him for 9 months. He takes his human flesh and his human nature from her. And then she gives birth in all of the poverty and loneliness of the stable at Bethlehem. So throughout these days, Our Lady, of course, is before our eyes. She's the one who holds the Christ child. She's the one who, in a certain sense, presents him to us. But there's someone else there who remains in the shadows, but who is very important for us, and that is Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph is the silent figure in the nativity scene. Most Christians who are not Catholic don't really know him at all or appreciate him. We Catholics and Eastern Orthodox Christians do have a greater understanding of Saint Joseph and a greater appreciation for him. And that's something that is very useful for us. Who is he, after all? He is the man chosen by God to be the protector and the defender of his Son, the Word made flesh, and of the woman chosen to be Mother of God, the Immaculate Conception. He does for them what every husband and father does for his family. But Joseph is chosen above all others. We can think easily of Mary being chosen and prepared for her role, but Joseph is also prepared for his role, chosen for his mission in a very special way. Because his mission is one of generous self-sacrifice, greater than that of any man. And he is chosen for a double role. What is it that he is appointed to do? He is going to be the protector of the Christ child. He's going to be the image, as it were, of God the Father's fatherly love. And he's going to show to the infant Christ, as he grows, what a man is supposed to be. Joseph is the pattern of masculinity for God's Son made human. That is an awesome responsibility. And that shows how exceptional this man is. Now, in the scriptures, we find very little said about Saint Joseph. And unfortunately, we often miss what's really there. He is called a just man. Now, that's not a minimalistic statement. In Israel, which thought of holiness in terms of law, to say that a man was just meant to say that he was holy, that he was pleasing to God. And we are told that Joseph came from the house of David. He was nobility. But he was also a working man. The term carpenter doesn't really say enough. The word that's used in Greek means that Joseph wasn't simply a finishing carpenter or a handyman. He was a builder, tecton, which we would use as construction worker or construction worker contractor today. Now, in St. Matthew's Gospel, we are told about Joseph's reaction and response to Mary's pregnancy. Now, in our time, And according to our way of thinking, we would imagine that the first thing that Joseph thought was that Mary had been unfaithful. But that's not how the earliest Christians saw it at all. We have many different Christian writers in the very first centuries after Jesus' ascension into heaven who tell us that Joseph did not doubt Mary's virtue. Joseph, a man of great faith, doubted his own virtue and thought himself incapable, inadequate, unworthy of being part of this enormous miracle. So when the scripture speaks about Joseph withdrawing from Mary's presence, it does not indicate that he wanted to separate her from him. He wanted to separate himself from her. You can do the reading. I'm happy to point you out to the texts that are very available. There is one excellent popular book called Redeemer in the Womb that lays out all the sources for this and shows us how the church reads Saint Matthew's account of the angel's appearance to Joseph. We are told there that Joseph was asleep. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary to your home as your wife, for she has conceived what is in her by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are to name this child Jesus." Now, the clue for us is in that last line. You are to name him Jesus. The right of naming a child, according to Jewish law and custom, belonged only to the father, not to the mother. Judaism was patriarchal. So when Joseph is given the right to name the child, even though the name has already been chosen by heaven, Joseph is in effect being told, "You are going to be father to this child in everything except natural conception. You are to have authority over him. And you are worthy. You are capable. You are not inadequate. God will be with you." And so it's only in response to that reassurance and to that mandate of authority, that delegation, if you will, that Joseph accepts God's plan for him and is obedient and takes Mary to his home, which is the second part of a Jewish marriage, and then begins his mission. We see him as the one who travels with Mary to Bethlehem, suffers the embarrassment of having his family refuse them accommodations. That's something that is unwritten in the scriptures, but after all, he's gone back to his hometown, the town of his people, and he has to seek a place in an inn. At first, his family do not receive them. Presumably they do later, because when the Magi arrive, they do not go to the stable. They go to a house where the Holy Family are living. But Joseph has to take Mary to a stable where she gives birth. And shortly thereafter, the shepherds arrive, told by the angel of the birth of this child. And if Mary is described as marveling at all these things, turning them over in her heart, Joseph must have done the same. It is Joseph, too, who is warned after the Magi's visit to take the child away, to flee to Egypt. It is he who makes that decision, and he is the one who makes the call later that it is safe to return home. It is he who sets up a home for the Word made flesh and the Immaculate Conception. It is he who teaches the Word who made the universe how to talk, how to walk, how to work. It is he who first places a hammer and nails into the hands of the one who will be nailed to a cross for us. So the Catholic Church has always recognized Saint Joseph as a tremendous role model for us, and is the one who teaches every one of us, women and men, not to be afraid of the vocation that God gives us, not to feel ourselves inadequate, ill-prepared, unworthy. Joseph felt all those things, and God said to him, "Don't let them get in my way. I will make all things possible for you." And that is what he says to us. So we look to this humble, working man. Not a theologian, not a priest, not a teacher. A worker, a husband, a father. Who in his unique vocation, one marked by tremendous self-sacrifice, always did the will of God. And in his silence is for us a great teacher, a great intercessor and role model. So today we should look to him on this Feast of the Holy Family and realize his greatness and ask for his prayers. And we have a special reason for doing this in Canada, because in the marvelous ways of Providence, it seems that it was reserved for Canada to offer St. Joseph the largest church, the greatest shrine in the whole world. There are places in the Holy Land associated with St. Joseph and the Holy Family, but there's no single shrine just dedicated to him. There are places in Europe and France and Ireland and Italy that commemorate miracles worked through his intercession or appearances that he has made. But there's nothing that equals the Basilica of the Oratory in Montreal, whose construction only dates back to the early 1900s and to the life of our saint, Brother André. So God, in his own time and in his own ways, the ways of Providence, reserved for the foundation of this nation and the character and culture of the Canadian Catholic Church, this gift for the whole world, to recognize St. Joseph as the great intercessor, advocate, role model that he is. To see in him the patron of all workers, the patron of family life, the patron of the dying, the patron of the universal church, the patron of each of us who feels inadequate at times, because in the course of our life There are always things that happen to each and every one of us that make us feel unprepared, unworthy, inadequate. Through Saint Joseph, God teaches us to have courage. And courage perfects our love. And love perfects us. So on this wonderful day, at this time when we are trying to enjoy for a little longer the happiness of Christmas, keeping up our trees and decorations, still having gatherings with family and friends, still eating leftovers, we ask that Saint Joseph, who shared in so much of the life we live, to help us to do things rightly, to finish what we've begun, to cooperate always with God's plan, and in the process, to find our joy, our fulfillment, our happiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.